going to be one when we get to heaven. Amen. Looking forward to the day. I'll be glad when we get to heaven and won't shave anymore. Last morning I forgot to shave. So I dried. Oh! And I cut my mouth and seized my shirt. Apologize. It was just a rough morning. What about it? And my cousin's like, they had no sympathy at all. I was like, when they become a man, shit, you don't understand what it is. Told some of them guys, they shave one's a good piece of Velcro. They're fine, alright? Me and Tanner are there, right, Tanner? Amen, yeah. Don't Tanner's good, though, when he don't shave. He has a little 5 o'clock thing going on. Me, I look like mom hadn't shaved well, and I do it, so. I don't know what's growing in his chin, but he looks down. I'm sorry, it's alright, alright? Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath reasoned with them out of scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this he might preach unto you Christ. And some of them believed, and stood with Paul and Silas, and of the devout a great multitude, and of the chief women not few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto a certain lewd of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the on an uproar, assaulted the house of Jason, and sought him out to the people. And when they found him not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto of the city, crying, these that turn both upside down come hither also, whom Jason hath received, all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. There's another one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of sin. They heard these things. And when they had been sick of Jason and of the they let them go. Brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who continued thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Let's pray and we get to the message. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray that you'd help us as we study your word this morning. And Lord, just open to us what the truths that you'd have for us. I pray that there's someone here this morning that's not saved. I pray that today they would be saved. I pray, Father, you'd speak to their heart. And then, Lord, I pray that each one of us would be receptive to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that, God, we would leave closer to you than when we came. We love you, and we give you the praise and honor for it all. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Paul went here, in chapter 17, to the city of Thessalonica. He's on one of his missionary journeys, and we find out that he spent roughly 3 weeks in Thessalonica. But he made use of that time while he was there. While he was there, he preached the truth. Now, we know that he went to the synagogue. He could have been there more than 3 weeks. We just know he went to the synagogue at least 3 weeks. And he went there on those Saturdays, and he preached the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, we know from his time there at Thessalonica, wasn't very long, but from his time there that many, verse number 4, some of them believed. There were people that got saved. They're from the devout Greeks. There are many Greeks. A great multitude got saved of the Greeks. The chief women, not a few. There were a few of the, you know, women in high places that got saved as well. There were some Jews that got saved. We know that to be the truth. But there were also some Jews that did not believe. Well, they didn't like the preaching that Paul was preaching. So they hired some people. And I like that verse number 5. It says, they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. What that means, basically, lewd fellows means evil people of the baser sort, which means they paid them. They were just hired hitmen, alright? And they weren't to kill them, but what they were is they were hired to stir up the people. And they did that. They stirred up the entire city into an uproar. And they got Jason, who had housed Paul and Silas, and he got other people, believers, and they took them in. They were charging him with these crimes. So the Christians, they took Paul and Silas by night, and they got them out of the city. Now, I read all that to say this. Paul wasn't there very long. Roughly about 3 weeks. But something happened in those 3 weeks. People got saved, and a church started. We know that because now we go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians, to that church there at Thessalonica. We see that in verse number 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus, which is Silas and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians. So there's a church there now. And Paul's writing to this church that he helped in getting planted there in Thessalonica. The word Thessalonica means victory of God. The city is still in existence. There's not many cities that from these times that are still up and going, but this city is. You'll find it on a map. It's called Thessalonica. Alright? It's a great city to study history. I love this kind of history. You know, it started out, the city was first called Therma, because they is a city known for their hot springs. And people would go there and they'd sit in these hot springs for healing purposes. And then when Alexander the Great conquered it, he decided to make it a major city and he named it after his sister. Her sister, his name was Thessalonica. And the Romans made it the capital of all industry and commerce, traveling. And the reasons why Paul went, it was a big city. And this, Paul sees and go to the established work in a church in those cities. And those larger cities got established to rebuild these fencing towns. He put it on a world mission. Right? They raised these churches, and Paul started this church on existence in Athens, the second largest city to Athens. It's a very large city there in to the same. But there at that time, a lot in the time of the Romans, it was little, the end of it, the commerce, all of the, that's why there's Jews there, the Greeks there, there's lots of people there, and a lot was going in this city. We can tell about the history of the different things. The most important happened was there, they're there. And people were saved. If I did my study, there's one church there today. I'd be a Muslim, I could start. You could. So no, we don't have to think out of the box enough. That's God one. Great. Could be. I'm not asking you to say great. Amen. It would be wonderful if you want to go there and start a church. It's open. You're allowed to go. You can go to church. We don't just think things. Wonderful. We want you to go. Think of, no, we don't want to think things. They're not bad. What if we're parting somebody there? And pray about when Paul went to his church. This big church. They had 3 weeks of their church. How get to be in the church? They have the Word of God. They study God's Word. They build on Word. Paul, those weeks just taught and taught, and they showed, and now he writes that to them 3 times in this book. He gives thanks for the church. He was so thankful the church stood out. It was listening. They were kind of Paul. They helped Paul. This was a world church. See, people came right at Kennedy. Things happening. And I want to point out a chapter 1. I want to look at the other should be. And put these things in chapter 1. And I want to use them just this morning. What our church should be. So, let's read the first 4 verses. Paul and Silas and Timotheus, the church of the Thessalonians, the same Father, and the Lord Christ, great young, and Father, and Jesus Christ. We give thanks for all for you all. Amen. You in our prayers. Remember ceasing your way, labor of love, and patience of hope, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Know them, beloved, beloved God. That's the second. Verse number 4, back in the verses, number a church is made of elect people, or saved people. That's what a church is made of, saved people. Every church should be, but every church should be number 1, saved people. The elect of God, in other words, the God's people. You know how you become one of God's children? You get saved. The day you got saved, became a child of God. And under God. You know, if our father's in here, millionaire, you know, and he had money, and it went out of his pocket, and he just gave it all away. He had one out of hand. And one of his here, we all would know it. He'd act different. You'd know it. He's serious. Boy, it'd be great to be his kid. He's taken care of. We're something far, far, far better. We're God. Wow. We are a child of God. Isn't it great to be a child of God? It is made up of saved people. Not often that, and places, that's overlooked. Those people remember when they're not saved. You can't be truly a member of a new church after saved. You say, well, I'm not saved. I'm not in God's eyes. A church is made up of people. It starts with salvation. We are born again. I like how it said here in number 1. It says, Thessalonians, between God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Great in Christ. I'm looking up in there's a lot of references that, let me throw these to you. You can't help but think of these. If you're saved, you're in Christ. Now listen, going to number 1, our sin in Christ. In chapter 24, verse number 24, we have faith in Christ. And Romans have redemption in Christ. And 8, verse number 1, there's the condemnation to them within Christ. Corinthians 1, they're justified in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 4, we are why Christ. And 1 Corinthians 15, 9, hope is in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2, 14, we triumph in Christ. And since 5, 17, and be in Christ. He is a what? New creature. Go to chapter 2 and verse 4. The liberty which we have in Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12, are we have trusted in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13, but now in Christ ye are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 3:6, we are partakers of His promise in Christ. Now I can go on and on and on, but listen to what we are in Christ. We have faith, we're redeemed, we have no condemnation, we're sanctified, we're wise, we have hope, we triumph, we're a new creature, we have liberty, we have spiritual blessings, our trust, we're made nigh, we are partakers of His promise because we are in Christ. Wow! Isn't it great to be in Christ? Man, we could preach on these things today, or we'd have no faith if we weren't in Christ. There's no real faith. We talked about faith last week. We had no redemption if it weren't for Christ. We would be condemned if it weren't for Christ. Oh, isn't it great to be in Christ? A church is made up of saved people. People that are in Christ, that are standing. You see, are separating there in verse number 1 also. We have grace and peace. What wonderful gifts God has given to us. Grace and peace. You know what grace is? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. To stop and think that we get to spend an eternity in heaven with Christ, that's grace. To stop and think that we get the Holy Spirit and all those works that He does in our life, that's grace. To stop and think that the Lord's presence, He'll never leave us or forsake us, that's grace. To stop and think about that we get a church and we get our brothers and sisters and we have the Word of God, we've got God's teaching, we've got God's wisdom, we've got all the blessings that God has given to us. If you have health this morning, it's because of God's grace. If you've got any kind of money in your pocket, it's because of God's grace. If you've got your family sitting in church, it's because of God's grace. All of our blessings is because of the grace of God. We deserve none of it on our own. But God has been so gracious. That's why we sing songs. His grace, it is amazing. It is marvelous grace. Stop and think about the grace of God. And not just grace, but we have peace. Peace is a wonderful thing. We have peace. When you got saved, you got peace with God. See what do you mean by that? Before, when we were lost, we were the enemies of God. But when we got saved, we got peace with God. And not just peace with God, but when you're saved, you should have the peace of God in your life. You know what the peace of God is? That means no matter what we face and what trial comes our way, when we're walking with the Lord, we're saved, we're serving God, no matter what we face, we know this, it's going to be all right. That's the peace of God. If you're saved, that peace is the Lord, that peace of God can happen in our life. We're thankful to God. We have the Lord and allow sin for life. The peace of God that should be there. Everything peace of God, that peace of God is going to be all right. The Word of God is comforting us. We all need Holy Spirit. We all need Holy Spirit. It's all hurt. We face things that are hard and they're difficult. And we get hurt. We need God in our life. Way forward and we're unfaithful. We walk. That peace is in our life. We become overwhelmed. And not to say, but when you have the peace of God in your life, it gets you through these things. Peace of God. And here we have grace and we have peace. And it's wonderful to know that you're a child of God. Every church, number one, of God's elect people. We're saved. Secondly, whatever peace, let's read verse number. Gospel came not to the word, but also power. And in the Holy Ghost and in the church, as you know, man, we were among you. And ye followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in my Holy Ghost, ye were in samples of the and Macedonia. Every church needs elect people. Secondly, every church needs an exemplary people. People that are examples. Acts 3 kind of took place in the verse. In verse number 5, Paul, he came, he did it in front of you. And verse 6, learned it of them. And verse 7, you know what they did? They started living in front of them. And they were other people. You know what? Every church needs it. People that are saved, number one. But then the people that are living a simple, holy life. People living a God-loving life. People that are living kind of life that the world can live. By the way, and verse 6, they suffered things. Verse 6, yeah, they suffered affliction for this. But you'll notice, and see, we're in sin. All that. You can't get to all that belief. Now, I think we ought to have a different holy life because the world's watching. But you got to understand, it's us.
really care less than what I'm on for it. See, the righteous and a lot of get in their mind. They really live a holy life and reach the world. But that's what you have to understand. When it doesn't work and they only talk to you, you know what they're doing? Well, come like the world. And like the world, we'll reach them. Health not in our churches. It's everywhere. But you'll notice, Paul, you're an insult. All that. You know why I'm the life? But I'm the godly life because we are. I'm to live a godly life. Christ to live a godly life. To live a godly life, encourage me to live a godly life. To live a godly life to encourage Bob Henry to live a godly life. Bob Henry to live a godly life, so he won't see that example. He won't live a godly life, so the Christian's an example. We live a life to encourage believers and the believers and everybody look at his life. I need to be more like Christ, and we ought to get from each other. We ought to get encouraged from each other. Church is a place when we get another one has no partner. A refuge from the world. That's one thing our church across this country desperately needs. We got way too much of the world in our church. Bring in music, have bands up there beating some wicked people with ungodly face, and they run in the tackle box, and I praise God. Wrong. But what in the world then? If you want to change holiness, say, come as you are, and whatever to be. That's not God's word, says. Now, if your philosophy is, well, you got to understand what you're reaching for. If in Christ He is Duke. And if we're not how A is to be whatever one of you understand it, what are we showing? Real truth. This to our college boys today in chapter 7. About he just makes things clear. What he says in Matthew chapter 7, a good fruit has good fruit. A corrupt tree has evil. By their fruit, you show them. You hear me on that? I mean, it's a real clear. And I told this to the young this morning. It is that life has not been all our life marred by sin. The thing is this, a life can be characterized by sin. A life's not something that people can think, got it. Everybody look at it. If you're saved in this church, everybody in this church ought to get you. They were living for. And the way that we talk, the way that we act, our entertainment, everything about us ought to be Christ honored. We are an ensample. And that word ensample, you say, well, I just began. A little bit of difference. The word ensample, it comes from ingredient. Ending, ensample. I mean, if we do some, wax, some stamp and engraving in there, you leave an imprint, and we pull that off, it has likeness. Imprint. You follow me? It was wax. Going to leave imprint. We are an example, but more than that, be an insect. In other words, the life that Jana outlives ought to leave an impression in every young lady in the church. Try to be an example. Then, you say, boy, that puts a lot of pressure on us to do right. That's what it's all about. We ought to desire to live right. You say, well, I don't want to live right. You're a corrupt tree. That's what the Lord said. Because a good tree produces good fruit. He said, matter of fact, those corrupt trees, they get hewn down and thrown into the fire. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said we ought to be producing this fruit. I like another verse. I wrote it down here. We'll turn there real quick because I want you to see this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. Keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians. In Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and in verse number 10. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, a lot of people, when they read that verse, they think, preferring one another. What they think they mean by that is this, Jake, follow me. I am going to prefer Jake. So I'm going to open this door and allow him to go first. Go on. Ha ha. All right. That's not... Just kidding. Going in. All right. That's not what that verse is talking about. Preferring. What that word means is this. It means this. Follow me, Jake. You're messing up the carpet. Kidding, right? This is in honor preferring one another. Walk this way. Preferring one another is this, leading by example. That's what that word means. And if I am preferring one another, what I am doing, I'm being kindly affectionate, I'm having brotherly love, but my life is one of example, that I ought to be a leader for the Lord. You say, well, that's because you're the pastor. Paul wasn't talking to pastors. He was talking to every believer in that verse. That our duty as a Christian, thanks Jake, is to be an example of the believers. To be a leader, to prefer one another. our life, what we ought to be living for is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to draw strength from each other, get encouragement from each other. We ought to love that. Now listen, you got to give people time to grow. I mean, someone visits today named Barbara. And Barbara visits today, and Barbara walks in, and Barbara walks the aisle and gets saved. She lives a wicked lifestyle. You give her time. She needs to grow in the Lord. She needs to mature in the Lord. And she will if we do our job. But people that have been saved for 10, 20 years, if you're truly born again, your life ought to be growing and changing. You ought to be maturing in the things of God. See, what happens is whenever we get involved, and, you know, we don't do these things, and we start to feel like, oh, why am I going to church? And then we want to look for a church that doesn't encourage us to grow, where we can just feel comfortable and do whatever we want to do and kind of hide somewhere. That's not what church is for. Church is for the maturing, the edification, the exhorting, the rebuking, but it's for the believers. And we ought to be growing. What every church needs is we need God's elect people. We need exemplary people. We also need enthusiastic people. Look back in 1 Thessalonians. I'll be real quick. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse number 8, enthusiastic people. For from you sounded out the word of God. You know what that word sounded out means? It means this. Da-da-da-da-da-da! It's like a sounding forth of a trumpet to charge. That's what it means. What it means is this, that we as church, there, that church in Thessalonica, they weren't ashamed. They were boldly proclaiming the truth of God. They were excited about it. It says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now, this is coming from Paul, who's been traveling the world. You get that? In other words, Paul, who had traveled all of Europe, basically, he had been going and preaching. And what he did, everywhere he went, he said, hey, let me tell you about a church over in Thessalonica. That's all we know about Thessalonica. That's what he said. They didn't have to speak anything about them. They were sounding out. They were excited about serving the Lord. They were charged up. Now, is that about your simple? You ought to be enthusiastic about serving the Lord. You ought to be excited about serving God. It ought to encourage your heart to be able to serve the Lord. Say, well, I don't teach a Sunday school class. We all stood up and sang this morning. It ought to thrill your heart to be able to get up and sing praises to God. It ought to thrill your heart. We all have the ministry this morning of encouragement. Every one of us. Every one of us ought to find people and say, I love you, Brother Bob. Appreciate you, Brother Bob. And encourage people. We need it. Man, we need that. We ought to be excited about our singing. I'm excited about choir. Choir at 5:30. I got a choir at 5:30. No, you ought to be enthusiastic. I get to serve God and sing His praise. Man, we ought to look for ways to serve the Lord. We ought to be excited about that Sunday school class. Excited about that junior church. Excited about that bus. Excited about that nursing home. Excited about singing in the choir. Excited about being an usher. Excited about running the sound. Excited about being in God's house. Amen! I'm just telling you, some of you are very unconvincing. All of a sudden, you can't sing, you can't smile, you can't shake a hand. I'm saying this for your sake. You're missing out on some good stuff. Serving God is great. They're enthusiastic, and then this, they're an expectant people. Look at the last two verses. Can I use your Bible? Because I don't want to walk back under. King James still? Verse number 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had into you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven. They were an expectant people. And He raised from the dead even Jesus, which delivers from the wrath to come. not only were they an elect people, they were saved. But they were exemplary people. They were an example, an ensample. And more than that, they were an enthusiastic people. They were sounding it out. And here lastly in this verse, they were an expectant people. They were waiting for the return of Christ. They were looking forward to His appearing. You know how you can get to a point in your life where you can look forward to His appearing? The way to do that, number one, is to know you're saved. If you're not saved, the return of Christ is not a pleasant thought. It's a frightening thought if you're not saved. But if you are saved, it's our hope and our comfort. It's in this book that Paul talks about the return of Christ and says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Because they were being afflicted, they were being persecuted, but God was coming back. Amen. All their trials and burdens, He said, comfort each other with this. The Lord's coming back. In other words, when people would walk into church and they had been beaten up for the faith, and that was happening. Whenever some men were walking in, they found out, or maybe some lady would walk in and they found out, and the church found out that her husband, a believer, was killed for believing in Christ. They would take him by the hand and say, it's okay. It's going to be alright. The Lord's coming back. All things are going to be made right. The return of Christ was a matter of great comfort. And we will be an expectant people too if we're saved. An example for the Lord, living for the Lord, enthusiastic about serving Him. We too will be a people looking for and longing for the return of Christ. That's why John could end the book being exiled on an island for his faith and said, even so, come quickly, Lord. That's what every church needs. That's what our church has got to have. Looking for the return. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you a question real quick this morning. Please don't allow the devil to stick.